Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, look with me to the book of Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3, as we went through messages on the home. The last message before this message was God's design for biblical marriage, understanding what God designed. And He designed one man for one woman and one woman for one man, and the two became one. That's marriage. God's design to become one. Now, we're looking here tonight in Colossians in chapter 3. Now that you're married, you're to live as one. You can't live separate lives, because in God's eyes, you become one. You have to adjust your life. You have to change your life for the better, and you have to live as one. And so the message tonight is establishing your home. Establishing your home. Go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading here. Colossians in chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. But now, ye also, put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all, and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be a thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you this evening, and again, we thank you for, Lord, the opportunity to be back in church tonight, and for all that took advantage of their opportunity and are here. And God, I pray that you would open up each and every one of our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us. Pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Of course, as Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, much of this had to do with how to treat one another in the body of Christ, because as we get saved and God plants us in the church, then we become part of that local called-out assembly, and that is one. We are to be one in Christ in that body, Christ being the head and the people, the believers, being the body of Christ. But then he reveals it's also there for marriage. Because after he gives all the instructions to the church and how we are to treat one another and all the things, and then he addresses wives and husbands and children. Establishing your home. In the book of Ephesians, we find here, it's also in Genesis, as God is performing the very first wedding ceremony, Jesus, so in the book of Luke, he revealed this too, but Paul writes to the church of Ephesus concerning marriage. And he said, you leave father and mother. So now you're married, your life changes because you're not your own. You have united with another, and the two of you are to live as one. And the first thing that you have to do to live as one, you leave father and mother. You leave their home. The home you grew up in. You observed parents' marriage. Children, that's all they know until they get older. They see how dad treats mom and how mom treats dad. You were raised in your parents' home. The home life was established by your mom and dad because it was their home. Children are instructed to leave the home. Wise parents raise their children to one day leave their homes. That doesn't always work. But according to God's word, that's exactly, it's your home as husband and wife. That's a permanent relationship. Till death do you part. The relationship you have with your children is one day they're going to leave your home. And that's what they're supposed to do. That's how you need to raise them. And if you raise them according to the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then they have experienced what a biblical home should be like. They have experienced what a biblical marriage should be like. You train them by raising them according to God's word. God wants every child to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God wants every child to be raised with a mom and a dad. That's his design. It's sad that that's not taking place in most homes, even in America today. But that doesn't change God's will. So now you have gotten married. You two become one. I've got the task of establishing God's will for my home. As you establish your home, what did you, what are you, or if you're not married and you're looking ahead to that, what will you look to as your model? Everyone has to have a model that they have in their mind concerning what they want in marriage and what they want in their home. Some would say, I want the home, I want the marriage just like my parents. There's nothing wrong with that because a lot of Christian homes, I talk to their families, and most children that are raised in a Christian home, they want to marry a man just like their dad. And they want to, the boys want to marry a woman just like their mother because they have been raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They've seen what a biblical marriage and the blessings of a biblical marriage. And they want a home just like mom and dad. They want to be raised in that kind of atmosphere. They want to raise their children in that kind of atmosphere. And praise God, that's the ideal. That is the ideal biblical model. Not always the case. Because then you have those who say, I want nothing like my parents. I do not want to become my mom, and I do not want to become my dad. And I surely do not want to be in the same kind of relationship that I witnessed for all those years in my mom and dad. That's sad. But it's reality. You might not know what a marriage is supposed to be like, but you know that you don't want to be raised and raise your children the way you were raised, in that very same ungodly atmosphere. Some would say, I want a marriage just like my relatives. I want a marriage just like grandma and grandpa's. The time that I would go to grandma and grandma's house, I was able to see what a marriage, a biblical marriage was like. And I seen their love for each other. And I seen how they worked in my life. And they wouldn't let me get by with things, but they would still honor the parents' rights. I want that kind of a relationship with my spouse. I want to develop and establish a home just like grandma and grandpa's. It might have been a relative. It might have been a cousin. It might have been an aunt, an uncle. And you visited over there and you say, boy, this is different than my house. This is the kind of house. This is the kind of marriage. This is the kind of home I want to establish when I get old, when I get married. That could be your model. Might have been a friend next door. You wanted to spend more time at their house than your house. You wanted to go over there because they had dinner together. They seemed to like each other. They said good things one to another. They were kind. I want a marriage like my neighbors. I want to raise my children the very same way that my neighbors raise their children. I just got a glimpse of it, but that's more of what I want. That could have been you. I hope this wasn't you, but some watch TV sitcoms and say, ooh, maybe that's the kind of home life I want. I'd think of a lot of sitcoms over the years, All in the Family. Hopefully you didn't want to have that kind of home life, but Happy Days, The Jeffersons. We laugh at that, but that's some of the good ones. I mean, not really good, but better than what we have today. Do you realize that society, anti-Christ and anti-Bible individuals use TV to promote their messages? More today than ever before. If you're watching any of your sitcoms, any of your primetime television shows, you're seeing them trying to influence you and your home. What you need to accept, and maybe your home's going to be different because you have two dads, or you might be different because you have two moms, and on and on and on. And that is all over the television. If that's what your kids are watching, can I tell you that is impacting their minds concerning their future relationships and how they're going to establish their homes? But some looked at that and said, well, I don't like my environment. I don't like the home I was raised in, but boy, that television, if I can have that, maybe that's what I want. Maybe that's what I need. I would hope that our model would be a biblical model. Instead of, maybe you wasn't shown that, raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but you've studied the Bible. And you believe in a God, and you believe in Christ, and you believe in the home that Jesus Christ wants you to establish. Our first ministry in serving Christ is to represent Him in our homes. Our first mission field is to see our family get saved. That's your Jerusalem. And that's what Colossians in chapter 3, it reveals to us God's will in the home. See, after marriage, the Bible should be what you look to for God to build and to keep your home. In Psalms chapter 127, we're going to come back to Colossians here, but Psalms chapter 127, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. God says, trying to do it on your own, you're going to be influenced by all these negatives and all these different things, and you're not going to be able to have the godly home that God wants you to have. You have to look to Him. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep the city. I need to have the Lord build my house. I need to have the Lord keep the house. The watchman waketh, but in vain. The biblical model comes from the Bible. Follow a human model that is following the Bible. The text reveals it. But now ye also put off all these, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. If that's in your home, you need to get rid of it. You need to get it out of your home. Lie not one to another. If that's in your home, you need to get it out of your home. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, that's a lost man's home. That's a lost man's relationship. Where there is neither Greek, it goes on to say this is all, but put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness. That's what I need in my house. That's what I need in my relationship. I need to have mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another. And you're going to have to learn to forbear one another. In the church family, you have to learn how to forbear one another to be able to keep the church unified. In your home, you have to learn how to do the very same thing, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, sacrificial love, which is the bond of perfectness. When you do that, you let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. You're called in your own home, one, living as one, and be you thankful. Amen. Webster's 1828 dictionary describes the definition of home, a dwelling place. Place of rest, the sacred refuge of our lives. Everyone needs a biblical home. Every child deserves a biblical home. It said the beauty of the home is harmony. The security of the home is loyalty. The joy of the home is love. The plenty of the home is in the children. The rule of the home is in service, and the peace and comfort of the home is God Himself. I love that. Yeah. God Himself. Look to God's biblical model. Men, be your wife's husband. Don't wait for her to be your wife, because you can't always control that. But you can control you. Be your wife's husband, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Don't have too high expectations. Sometimes that bitterness comes when our spouse does not meet our expectations. And most of the time, the reason they don't meet your expectation is your expectation is more than what God expects. You cannot have a biblical relationship if you have a greater expectation for your spouse than what God has for your spouse. And you'll be bitter. And you'll live in a bitter relationship, which will take away the peace and the joy out of the home. And your children will pick up on it. Yeah. Be your husband's wife. Ladies, verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Know how God would have you to live as a wife and give yourself to it and be your husband's wife. Mom and dad, husband and wife, be your children's parents. Be your children's parents. Stop trying to be their best friend. Your child doesn't need you as a best friend. He's got or she's got a lot of those. Your child needs you as an authority figure who is going to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They need you as a parent. Amen. Yeah. And then establish together because now it's your home. Each one of you had a different experience. Hopefully it was somewhat familiar, but sometimes it's not. It's totally opposite how your one was raised and the environment they were raised in and the environment you was raised in. You both have an awareness of how you were raised. Examples of your parents, the type of personality of your home. Leave it. Do not try to get your husband to give you the home that you want, and stop trying to get your wife to give you the home that she wants and how they were raised and all. No, together you become one. And as one, you establish your own home. You establish your guidelines, and you establish your goals, and you establish what you want to accomplish for Christ in your home. You have to do that. In order to do that, there has to be rules and regulations and guidelines. Putting off the things that the Bible says there in Colossians chapter 3 to put off in your home, that's a good start. That's a model home that God's given to you. If you find those things in your home, then you have to stop it. You have to get rid of it. You got to change. You got to put it off. Your home will not flourish if you have those types of things going on and those kind of relationships. And if you're treating your own spouse that way, or you're treating your children that way, or you're allowing your children to treat you that way, then your home's never going to be the place that God wants it to be, the place of refuge. And it's your home. You can have the kind of marriage and the kind of home that you want. As you got married, the two of you become one, and now you have to establish your home. You can bring to it some of the suggestions and some of the thoughts that you had in your own experiences, but it's not your mom and dad's house. It's not their, it's your house, and you need to establish as God would have you to establish it. Put on those things that God tells you to put on. If that's not a part of your relationship, you're missing out. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness. Kindness? Yes. Sometimes that would cure a lot of the problems that you have in your home if you would just learn to be kind. Humbleness of mind. If you got to tell your wife you're the head of the home, you're not. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. God said, this is how you have the peace of God in your relationship. This is how you have the peace of God in the church. This is how you have the peace of God in your home. Forbearing one another. Yes, you have to forbear one another. There's going to be things that each one of you do that kind of irritates the other. Can I tell you, choose your battles. If my wife wants to clip her nails in the bed and put on that old stinky stuff, that's not worth battling over. Do I like it? No, I've gotten used to it now, but I never have liked it. But is it easier for her sitting there? Yes, I'm going to choose my battles. That's not one that I'm wanting to get into it over. He throws his dirty underwear just on the floor and expects you to come and pick it up. At least having put it in the hamper. But yes, amen. Is it worth battling over? Is it worth your peace in the house? Forbear. Choose your battles, especially with your teenagers. If you make everything a battle, then you minimize the importance of the major things. Major on the majors, minor on the minors. Forbear. It's what God says. We need to do that in our relationship in our church and our relationship in Christianity, especially our relationship in the home. Forgiving one another. Forgiving is not forgetting. You can't. It's in your mind. But you can choose to put it behind you and never bring it up again. If you brought it, bring it up again, you've not forgiven. Forgiveness, now we can't put as far as the east is from the west, but maybe the north and the south. Because it's there. But you can choose to forgive and say, never going to bring it up again. We've dealt with it. Let's move on. Yeah. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. When you do all these things, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, called in oneness as husband and wife, and be a thankful. Rules and guidelines. Establish spiritual goals. Establish it. The two of you together. Do you want God's blessings and let God build the house and do it God's way? As God would have you to be a part of a local New Testament church, become a part of a local New Testament church. As God would have you to use your talents and serve in that church, use your talents and serve in that church. As God would have you to be there when the doors open and not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, you establish your home and say, as long as we can, as much as we can, we are not going to forsake. Forsaking is saying, I don't want to be there. You're not always going to be there. You're going to find sickness, things going, but you always want to be where God wants you to be. God wants you to be in church every time the church door is open. Establish that. Establish that with you and your spouse and say, we want God's blessings. We got to do things God's way. We're going to put off these things. We're going to put on these things. And now we're going to set spiritual desires and spiritual goals. We're going to be at every church service that we can be at. We're going to serve in the church. We're going to do what God would have us to do. That's establishing your home. The kind of home that you want to raise your children in, when they get raised, they want to mimic. They're wanting to follow your example. We failed in our children so many times. Can't fail them. Establish spiritual guidelines. Establish financial goals. Satan will not only use spiritual guidelines and try to get you to renege on those and get you away from what God wants you spiritually to cause problems in your home. He's going to try to use finances. You have to be at one. You have to be together. You have to come together. You're at one. You're not two. You should not have your finances and him have his finances. You don't need to live double lives in the same home. God says you become one. And as you become one, you establish your finances together. And you pray together for your finances. If there's goals that you've said, I want to have a house, and you pray about that, and you work together for that, you have that in common. But you establish it. The two of you. By doing this, you're going to establish an atmosphere that you want to go home to. If you use the biblical guidelines, the model that God's given to you, then you're going to establish an atmosphere that you say, I don't want to go somewhere else. I don't want to go to the world. I want to go home. Because it's my refuge. It's my refuge. I want to go to church because the church is my refuge. When you're right, church, in the church that God's planted you in, it's your refuge. Establish that. And then lastly this evening, let me ask you a question. How do you view your home? I want you to answer it yourself, to yourself. How do you view your relationship with your spouse? How do you view the atmosphere in your home? If it's not what you want or what God wants for you, change it. Change it. It's your home. It's your marriage.
It's God's will for your life. Change it. Stop any further damage. Because if it's not what you want or what God wants for you, you're damaging it. The longer you let it go, the more damage is being done. Some do so much damage, they get to a point of no return. I hate that. I've dealt with so many counseling sessions where you come in and they're upset with each other, and one's mad and one's saying, "Oh, I want to work it out." And they say, "No, I'm not. Well, you've done so much. You've gone beyond what I can help." You try to bring them together, and then before you know it, you got the one turned around, and then the other says, "No, if I'm fed up now, I don't want it." Because the devil wants you divorced. The devil wants to take your place of refuge away from you. He wants to take your home away from you. He wants to take where you raise your children away from you. He wants to take the environment that God wants children to be raised in. He wants to take it away from you. He wants to destroy the church in the very same way. These are the things that God has established for Christianity, and the importance of the home and the importance of the church. They need to be places of refuge where we're serving God and accomplishing the things that God wants us to accomplish. And if you're not, you got to stop. You can't afford any more damage done to that relationship. You can't afford any more damage done to the minds of your children. There's too much at stake here. You got to stop. Find solutions and not blame. Pointing the finger never has helped anybody. Find solutions. Agree upon the problems and find solutions. Yeah. It could be, if you just read back over Colossians in chapter 3 and what you need to put off and what you need to put on, you'll find the solution. You'll find the problems. You're not even being kind to your own family. You're not even forgiving your own spouse. Just need to put off and put on and love your spouse and be what God wants you to be to them. It's your marriage. It's your home. What would God have you to change? My wife and I, of course, the kids grown. Now we just have grandkids. Just been the two of us. And so we just purchased about 4 years ago our retirement home. Got out of the three-story house and went to a ranch. Praise the Lord. Helps the knees. You got two bedrooms, three, but we made one into a more of a family room. And we got two full bathrooms. We have a guest room with a full bathroom, which is now my bathroom. Amen. I thought it was a lot easier to let her have her bathroom. I got my bathroom. No fighting. Amen. No conflict of interest. She does and puts up whatever she wants to put up. She lets me put up whatever I want to put up until we have guests. And I have to take it all down. But my bedroom, my bathroom is smaller. It had a door that opened inside the bathroom. It was already small. I fought with that door for 4 years. I didn't realize how uncomfortable it was, how much I fought with that door, how much I hated that door. And just about 3 months ago, light come on. Reverse it. Reverse it. Instead of having the door opening inside, which I had to get around, and it was always right there next to the sink, I reversed it, and now I have the door opening outside. I love my bathroom. Who would have known just that one simple change could change my life? I want to live in my bathroom. I've even thought about putting the TV up in my bathroom now. I mean, it's that much more room. All it was a simple change of, instead of the bathroom door opening inside, turning it around and let it open outside? Peace. Joy. Refuge. But you don't understand, it could be something similar that would change your relationship, change the atmosphere in your home, allowing it to be more of what God wants your home to be. Amen. Like if every head bowed, every eye closed, just think about it. You're married. Establish your home, your guidelines. Let the Lord build the house. Look to Him to help you to establish those guidelines in your marriage and in your raising your children. But you got to do it. It won't just happen overnight. You have to make it happen. You have to choose to make it happen. What would God have you to change? Father, we bow before you. We do love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. And we thank you for the truths of your word and how they can change our lives if we'll apply them, especially marriage, the home, the importance of raising children in a godly environment. I pray, God, that we would all have that desire to establish a home. Our children will want to leave the home, but establish the same kind of a home. I pray, God, that you would help each one to look into their own hearts and minds and see what they need to put off and what they need to put on. And God, change what needs to be changed. Bless now this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.